You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. We now present the program Beyond the Pages with our host, Christina Doyle.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to all our wonderful listeners here on Radio Maria Canada. Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Pages, where I, your host, Christina Doyle, interview devoted Catholic writers and their works. Today, we have a special presentation of an incredible story and film that will be produced in the near future. I would like to introduce to you Michelle Yerman. But first, let's begin our broadcast with a prayer. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Well, everyone, Michelle Yerman is a Canadian professional singer, actress, recording artist, songwriter, and the director and founder of Full of Grace Productions. She has trained extensively in vocal performance and has an associate diploma as a pianoforte performer. Some highlights from her career include being dubbed the National Anthem Specialist, having sung the National Anthems live in the Rogers Centre in Toronto for the late Princess Margaret at the Queen's Plate, and in every major stadium in New York, including Madison Square Garden, Yankee Stadium, and Shea Stadium. In New York City, Michelle was a cantor at St. Patrick's Cathedral, worked as the outreach coordinator at a shrine for the unborn, founded by the late John Cardinal O'Connor, performed in an off-Broadway musical, and wrote and performed her own song for 9/11 called Our Hearts All United in God We Trust. In Canada, she wrote, produced, directed, and starred in her own original musical theatrical production, On With the Show, This Is It, as well as produced her own veterans CD, Lest We Forget, A Salute to All Veterans, which included her own composition, In Flanders Field, set to John McCrae's famous poem to commemorate Canada's Declaration of the Year of the Veteran, that received accolades around the world, including from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. Internationally, Michelle has appeared with many celebrities around the world and represented Canada with her own composition, The Miracle of Life, on the international live broadcast of the Children's Miracle Network Telethon in California. Michelle has recently completed her Bachelor of Arts with distinction in film and became the 2015 gold medalist for achieving the highest average and standards of academic excellence. Her latest project with her company Full of Grace Productions is writing a screenplay to be made into a feature film on the life and mission of the famous Rosary priest, Father Patrick Peyton, as highlighted in his autobiography, All for Her. Just to give you a little update about Father Patrick Peyton, he has been declared venerable as of 2017, who is now a candidate for sainthood. His heroic virtue has been declared by the Pope. Venerable means a person who deserves respect and is known as a servant of God. Today, Michelle lives in London, Ontario. Welcome, Michelle. It's indeed an honor and a pleasure to welcome you to Beyond the Pages here on Radio Maria Canada.
Thank you so much, Christina. It is my honor and my pleasure and a blessing for me to be here today with you as well.
Well, my dear Michelle, we are so happy that we're all together here in studio to finally come to this beautiful crossing of dealing with this beautiful film that you're going to be working on. And first of all, let's give our listeners a little background as to who is Father Patrick Peyton.
Yes, that's a question of the day, actually. And I'm very excited to be able to tell your listeners about him. A lot of people don't remember him by name, but they do remember his very popular phrases, the family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. So he came from this little village in County Mayo, Ireland called Attymass. He was one of nine children. Father, a very sickly man, had lung issues, bronchial problems, asthma. So the family was quite poor, and two of the sisters had to move to the States while the rest of them were trying to make some sort of a living to be able to support the family. And so, of course, every night, no matter how tired they were, the father gathered them all together and they would pray the rosary. So he developed his great faith from his family. He actually had the beginnings of a vocational calling to become a priest. But the problem was, in those days, you really couldn't go further much in your education if you had to work to help support your family. So he wasn't educated enough to become a priest, which really frustrated him. I'm sure we can all empathize with that. But so he decided, I'm going to give this all up. And I'm going to move to the States. I'm going to bring my brother Tom with me and join my two sisters in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and become a huge real estate mogul. But God had other plans for him because his sister, Nellie, knew of his vocation and got him a job similar to what brother Andre, who was from the order he later joined, the Holy Cross, the Congregation of Holy Cross, it's similar to what he had done, the caretaker of the church. And in there, being able to open and close the church, he rediscovered his vocation and felt a calling after hearing a mission of the Holy Cross Fathers to join that religious order, and told his brother he should join too, instead of working in the coal mines. So they did. And while he was studying as a seminarian at Notre Dame University and doing theological studies, he started to have spottings and spitting up of blood. And it was discovered that he had, in 1937, he had developed tuberculosis. At that time, which was a fatal disease, there were no antibiotics.
That's right.
So, you know, he was literally, it was not a good outcome. And so the doctors, it came to the point after almost a year that he was failing. And of course, TB for most was a fatal disease, and they would use to remove ribs and pieces of ribs in order to be able to give the lung space so that they could breathe better. And so the doctors basically said to him, either you trust in us and we remove seven of your ribs and buy you some time, or you trust in your God. And so he put his trust at that moment in the power of the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the next day, he felt overnight that he was healed and had a healing of tuberculosis, and dedicated and ended up actually getting special permission from the Holy Father to have the same ordination date as his brother and to finish his studies later. So he had light duties, but he wanted to dedicate his whole life to our Blessed Mother in her service, mm-hmm. what she had done for him. And by that, he discovered, it came to him one day that, you know, the war was raging. When he was ordained, it was 1941. Families were torn apart, as you know, Christina, when we read our history books, men off to war, women having to work in factories, the family unit was separated. So he felt he needed to do something with family prayer and prayer of the Most Holy Rosary, and came across working in a college, St. Rose College in Albany, was light duties, but they had a I believe it was either a weekly or a monthly program, and they would act out the students on the air parts of the catechism. And he asked if they could do the rosary, and that was successful. And through a contact in this radio station, he ended up going to New York and meeting it with the Mutual Broadcasting Corporation, a woman by the name of Elsie Dick, asking for a national broadcast. And as it all turned out, to kind of make a long story short, he got a national broadcast with free airtime. They agreed to this. It took some convincing, and his little Irish temper came up a bit, saying, you know, you sympathize, but you're not going to help me. And that kind of put this lovely Jewish lady, of course I'm going to help you. If you say I can't, I will. Gave him a half an hour. He ended up not only getting Cardinal Spellman to give a message, the President of the United States, Harry Truman, and the greatest popular singer actor at that time. He did a cold call to Bing Crosby. So, and the Sullivan family, who had lost five sons in one naval battle. And so that started him off to go to Hollywood, and they really, this was a huge hit. And so he developed Family Theater of the Air, which became the longest running radio program, you know, for more than 23 years. And from that, ended up the same year at Marian Congress in Canada. Archbishop Fichon had called a Marian Congress not only to honor Mary, and it was a huge deal. You can, you know, look on the internet and Marian Congress of 1947 and to see what they went to, through in Ottawa and Lansdowne Park. And they put this beautiful, huge stage together with Our Lady at the top and, you know, our own shrine in Canada, Our Lady of the Cape. They processed the statue there, and he set up a booth, a Family Theater of the Air. And he's working now with all the top movie stars of golden age of Hollywood. So we're talking Bing Crosby, Gregory Peck, Shirley Temple, Loretta Young. The list goes on and on. Anyone that was major in that day, regardless if they were Catholic or not, we're talking about the importance of family prayer. And two priests from London, Ontario at St. Mary's Church, so aptly named, Christina. see how our Lord and our Lady work. It's amazing. They had heard this program and invited him to come and preach a Triduum, which is basically a 3-day mission. And he did a few months later in 47, and they saw this holy and humble priest. And after the first night, they said, Father Peyton, what would you like to do? He said, well, now here he has all of Hollywood on his, you know, at his fingertips, but he still hadn't fulfilled his mission of trying to get family prayer of the rosary in every home. And he said, I'd like to be able to have an at least try in one diocese to somehow get, you know, a kind of family crusade going of some sort. And Father John Maloney and Father John McCormick, so the pastor and the associate pastor, kind of looked at each other, and Father Maloney, who was a pastor, said, I think we have the idea for you, and gave him the blueprint of, listen, we had our bishops, Bishop Kidd and Bishop Cody, his coadjutor, get the diocese out of debt last year by having people pledge monies. Why don't we use the same format, the same men, the same system to get people to go into the homes and have people pledge the rosary? And hence the idea for the Family Rosary Crusade was born. London, Ontario, Canada, the Diocese of London, the people of London, non-Catholics, all worked together in promotion, unlimited promotion. They started their own newspaper, A Time for Family Prayer by Sir Arthur Carty. All the financial resources. Remember, they just got the diocese out of debt, and Bishop Kidd said, the sky is the limit. Anything for Our Lady. Bishops, are you listening? Yeah. and then, you know, they had over 90,000 people. So they have you know, 6,000 men going into homes, and they had a success rate of over 90% of families pledged to do the rosary, which set the blueprint for the rest of the world. It spread through most of Canada first before going to the States, and then on every continent of the globe, Christina. It's a miracle.
It is. It is a miracle.
So he wanted to touch 10 million lives, and throughout the course of his life, he touched 28 million and then went on to produce rosary films. But this was how he got known to be the famous rosary priest.
Right.
And his slogans, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, I mean, this is quite this whole project that you're already undertaking. What inspired you, Michelle? What inspired you to even embark on this kind of project regarding Father Patrick Peyton? How did this all happen? When did this come to you? Like, how did it fall on your lap?
Well, you know, I'd started off church singing, and my lovely priest friends would call me the canary. Canary, have you had your bird seed today? I remember Father Hennessy would say before Mass. So, of course, I did a lot of church singing. But with all my training, you know, and the support of my parents, I decided I was going to move to New York to try to make it and pursue my singing and acting career. And I had a huge break. After several years, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, many years of training, I was given an opportunity to have everything. And I mean everything. I was offered, I could do a TV sitcom, I could do a comedy show, I could do Broadway, I could do television and CD, et cetera, et cetera. However, there were strings attached, and they were not conducive to my Roman Catholic upbringing and my morals and values. Mm. And I knew that if I choose the Lord's way, which was to say no, that it would involve suffering. I heard this sort of interior call, and I turned them down, and they thought I was crazy and wasn't hungry enough. And of course, it was sad, because artists, for the most part, true artists, this is a vocation. It is very difficult. It's not like we come out of school and training and there's a job offer waiting for us. We really have to slug it out. And so I was very dejected and came home for a break, trying to decide what to do. And my mother was the catalyst for what I call my calling, because I was offered within 2 weeks a job to go and work as the music ministry for St. Mary's Church. No coincidence that this is the church where Father began. Where he's first invited, and where the blueprint for the first crusade was born, Family Rosary Crusade. And I was going, oh my goodness, I'm going backwards. This is crazy. And my mom said, just came from a Marian shrine, and here's a book I want you to read. And I see the cover has, now the first two editions were by Father Peyton. He released two editions in 67, and I believe the other one was 71 or 74. But I thought, okay, what is this? And she said, haven't you ever heard of him? And I said, no. Well, then she mentioned the slogan. Right. So yeah, 67 and 73, I just checked that. And so I said, of course, the family that prays together stays together. Well, she said, he worked with all the big Hollywood movie stars and singers. And I was like, whoa, that piqued my interest. And she said, and then what got me, what reeled me in was, and the first Rosary Crusade was born from the church where you're going to be. So I took the job, not knowing if I was going to go back to New York. I thought I'd try it for a bit. And within 2 years, I was organizing the 100th anniversary of the church on the promise that I could do something regarding Father Peyton, and that it would be a spiritual event. So here turned 1 year into four, because I invited, his cause had opened officially, had just opened, and the first vice postulator of his cause was Father Thomas Feely. Now, he records all the things that have happened to present to the postulator in Rome to determine whether this man's going to be a saint. So I invited him to come and to repeat history, so to speak, to give a parish mission. So in the course of that happening, I ended up singing on the same day of the event in New York, because 9/11 had happened. Mm.
Right.
So here I am performing the song. Father Feely asks me if I will work with him in the future. So the plan was, Christina, that Jim Caviezel, who had just finished filming, now this is a couple years after, The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's wonderful 2004 film, would I work with him? And I would sing, Jim would speak, and we would retrace Father's Peyton's footsteps in Canada and then go beyond to help the cause. And I said, yes, I would. Father Feely was doing another mission in Florida and collapsed. And so I spoke to him, and he was adamant about, you're sure you're going to do this for me? You promise you're going to help the cause in whatever way, shape, and form? And yes, Father, yes, I made him a sacred vow that I would utilize my gifts and talents to help the cause of Father Peyton. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm getting tired. Can you call me tomorrow? We'll discuss further. Yes. And he was starting to write a letter to Mr. Caviezel. And so the next day I called, and Christina, he had just died.
Oh,
I was devastated, not knowing, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell people that this is, you know, I'm supposed to be doing this with Mr. Jim Caviezel? And so it sort of fell apart. I tried my best, worked on this. So this is about 4 years of volunteering and trying to create awareness for Father Peyton.
Well,
and I decided to get a film degree. And
Is that right? You went and got a, so it wasn't enough, all the credits that you went and got, you decided to get a film degree.
Yeah, Father Peyton inspired me because I figured I had tried so hard, nothing happened. I figured, okay, I'm barking up the wrong tree. I was devastated because I made a sacred vow to priest, a dying priest. I didn't know he was going to die.
No.
And I thought, well, I will work in some form of writing and bring back, you know, a genre of movies that I loved in the 30s and 40s. So that's what I thought was going to happen until I started to receive some visible signs that made me revisit the calling. So see, we sometimes go off astray in our callings. It's sort of similar to Father Peyton. He was going to be a real estate mogul. I was going to be a big fame and fortune superstar. And then God led me back to where I got an important sign. And the one sign was I was receiving, just to give you a hint, and the listeners a little hint of it, I was receiving materials that I hadn't signed up for about Father Peyton. So I looked heavenward one day and said, okay, Lord, if you want me to undertake this, and I thought, I'm going to be really smart here. I'm going to ask for something specific. I want a sign. I want it in an envelope on my front door, and good luck with that. Yeah. And I went and I went for a walk, came back, and on my front doorstep was a manila envelope. And one of the Grand Knights, a friend of mine is a Grand Knight, had seen an article on Father Peyton in the Knights of Columbus in Columbus magazine and said, I thought you might be interested in reading this. And I went, oh, my goodness.
Right.
So that's sort of how it all came to be.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is working with you and guiding you, Michelle. There's no doubt about it. Just that we've listened to, before we go off to a quick short break, but just hearing about Father Patrick Peyton, I mean, I've got his book in front of me, and I've turned to the part where it says that, that, you know, not only, you know, he was a pioneer in using the media for evangelization. Just look at evangelization today on television and radio, but television worldwide, like evangelization is just skyrocket. It's gone into outer space. You know, I mean, in terms of spreading the gospel, and he had, I know you mentioned he had famous celebrities such as, I think I have here, Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly and Ronald Reagan and Lucille Ball. Like, my goodness, you know, just an amazing.
Yes, from all faiths. Everyone who talked to him was just like, we have to work with this man. He had that. It's the same kind of charisma, a holy charisma, like Venerable Fulton Sheen. They were the pioneers of using radio and using print media. And, you know, of course, it's evolved today, but at that time, it was something new to have somebody religious. It was a little bit ahead of even Billy Graham. So, right. You know, this was something that was fantastic. And he had no experience in that. Mm. But look at how the Lord worked through him and Absolutely. Brought him to people who did.
I know. So it's just incredible. What an incredible story. And what this is going to be an incredible project. And we're going to talk about that right after the break. So stay tuned, everyone.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Beyond the Pages. Here, once again, is our host, Christina Doyle.
Welcome back, everyone. As you know, we have a special guest and presentation today with Michelle Yearman, who is our Canadian singer-songwriter extraordinaire in terms of, if I've listed the credits to you at the beginning of the broadcast, my goodness, just that alone should take you and can help you realize what a gifted and talented individual that I have as a guest today, Michelle Yearman. Michelle Yearman, of course, is embarking on this exciting film project called All for Her, and it's based on the autobiography of Father Patrick Peyton with her company called Full of Grace Productions. Now, Michelle, tell us, what is going to be the focus of your film, and why do you think this kind of film is important today to produce for the public?
Okay, good questions, Christina. I'll tackle the first one. The focus is really, I would say, the greatest love story ever told between a humble and holy priest, yeah. who called himself Mary's Donkey, by the way, and his heavenly mother. He wanted to tell and show the world what Our Lady, the Mother of God, had done for him with all of its graces and what she can do for each and every one of us, especially through the greatest spiritual weapon of all time, with the rosary. And of course, you know, with family units throughout different generations, and of course, today we're in very troubling times, and the breakdown of the family unit, the disintegration of it, yeah. and people not knowing in this kind of woke generation where they're going, what they're doing. Our Lady always points. She did in Fatima 30 years prior to the first Rosary Crusade. She started the first Rosary Saturday devotion, giving it to innocent shepherd children and telling them, look, you recite the rosary, this is going to save souls from hell, even taking two of the Saint Jacinta and Saint Francisco to hell to show them that they offered their lives up early. And then, of course, later, soon to be Saint Lucia. And so she's showing them and talking to them about the conversion of Russia. We hadn't really heard of communism at that time. But we're sort of seeing our own now today. You know, here 30 years later, Father is preaching the same message. Mm-hmm. Because it's just getting over a second world war. Fatima was first world, second war. And now today, you know, we're seeing war on a different front. And we're seeing it, you know, in so many different forms. Evil has overtaken us.
That's for sure.
So we're twisting good to be made evil, and evil, you know, is looking good. To our younger generations are so inundated that they don't know where to turn. Well, we need to get back on our knees. And that includes our clergy and our religious, that, you know, Father John Maloney said to Father Peyton, if the sheep are lost, one only has to look at the shepherd. So, and if they're in green pastures, you look at the shepherd too. So we have this greatest love story. And, you know, we want to talk about the three parts where in Ireland, as I mentioned, he got his faith and vocation. U.S., you see the healing of TB, the fulfillment of the vocation. And in Canada, he's given this great blueprint for his ministry that fulfills his mission and has now put him on the path to sainthood. This, you know, and this kind of veers into, you know, the second part you asked me, why is this film important? Well, we've seen a lot of documentaries on Father Peyton, but we haven't seen a feature film. And we need to see a feel-good story, as we call it in the industry.
Amen to that.
We need a lot of bad news about our clergy and the religious. We need to see a good story and to show this humility and to show Father's fiat as Our Lady's fiat in humility to our good Lord to bear the Savior of the world. We have a humble priest, his fiat to I will answer, if you know, please, Our Lady, heal me, and dedicates his ministry to ultimately in the service of God and to help try to secure the family unit through prayer. So we need to see, can you imagine the casting call for, I'm thinking ahead here for yes. Father Payne.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to see this. So because the other thing is, we know a lot from the documentaries about, you know, his life in Ireland and in US. And we actually see a little bit of his evangelization as a young boy in Ireland when he comes to work on a neighboring farm and he thinks they're going to do the rosary at night and they don't. And at the end of his work week, he summons up enough nerve as the big, tall, you know, father comes to pay him. And he said, listen, I think you need to be doing the rosary at night. He's sort of evangelizing him as a young boy.
Exactly.
You know, when you think of that. And so, you know, and then we see other little snippets of this and we see all the wonderful things that happened in the United States and the healing and the miracles and the drama. But we have yet to see the Canadian connection, which has all been ignored and was very providential. So how this happened in London, how the good and holy Diocese of London and its bishops, Thomas John Kidd and Bishop John Christopher Cody, how they dedicated with all the other important figures, how they all work together, all these priests, John Maloney, I can mention them all, you know, Father Joseph McCormick, all of them, and got the whole city involved. And as I said, even getting non-Catholics to donate 30 billboards across the city, you know, for free. So we need to tell the truth, the whole truth of the story, and how Sir Arthur Carty put together the time for family prayer that went around the world. I mean, remember, there were no fax machines and no cell phones to get things across. It was all, you know, telegrams and, you know, doing things by newspaper. And then the third thing is, so we have, you know, telling the story of something that's a feature film, something about the Canadian connection and its importance. The third thing is, we need to know the man himself. We know his sayings, but there's been a few generations since he's died. And, you know, he's on his way, two miracles away from becoming venerable. So if anyone needs a miracle, here's a beautiful man to pray to. And so it could be because of Father's own innate and intentional humility and not drawing attention to himself, but to his spiritual mother, Mary, the Queen of heaven and earth. And so we have to look at, you know, he's drawing attention to her. Our good Lord did on the cross, giving her to the whole world via the apostle St. John. Asking, and St. John took her into the home. We are to do the same. And Father Payton's encouraging us, bring Mary into the homes.
Right.
Bring this most spiritual weapon of the rosary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
St. Teresa, Padre Pio of St. John Paul. So,
hey,
again,
Michelle, Legion yes. of Mary, that's what we do. Our works of mercy
yes.
is we bring the enthronement of beautiful Mother Mary into people's homes, and we pray with them, and we are with them, and we share our faith with them, and they have that beautiful statue of Blessed Mother. And that's exactly it. You're right. Absolutely.
And look at what, like, he had spiritual warfare. Don't think he didn't want to give up too. There were many times. And then he said, oh, you know, in my own humanness, you know, I got upset, and now look at what Mary has done. So we see subjectively his personal life, but also his objective Catholic and apostolic and evangelistic, evangelistic accomplishments. Like, you know, look at everything he accomplished via Mary, our Blessed Mother,
right.
God's glory.
Absolutely.
So we have to, you know, and for those of us who, and for those out there who may have a religious vocation and they've been discouraged, look at his life and just keep holding firm, you know, put on your armor of God, because it's not going to be easy, but in the end it will be worthwhile. And I know I've gone through warfare myself to produce this, but in the end, that means you're on the right track.
Absolutely. That's what I totally believe 100%, Michelle. And I know you're at the early stages of this film, Michelle. Can you tell our listeners, what is it? How can we help you, Michelle, with Full of Grace Productions? How can we help you?
Well, first I ask for everyone's prayers. That's very crucial for me. The prayers give me hope and strength. Secondly, I have started a Life Funder campaign, which is done through LifeSite News. And it's sort of similar to a GoFundMe page. And we were vetted for $350,000 for phase one, which is the actual writing of the screenplay, helping to take care of all of our office needs and expenses for the next few years, for scouting movie locations, which is quite extensive in Ireland and in Canada and in the United States. So phase one is our goal right now to meet that, because we also have to take into account that, you know, we have a platform to do it, but a percentage of the payment processing platform company, there's a percentage that goes towards that. They manage the online financial donations. So we need that so that we can have a product in hand, the screenplay, once completed. Then we can go on to partnering or investors once you have that. To then, you know, produce the film, go into production, to promote it, and to international release. And this is going to be on the same scale, you know, to pardon the comparison, but so that people understand the difference between a documentary and a feature film, we're going to cast someone to actually portray Father Peyton. It's going to be like Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ.
On that scale.
That scale. So that took millions of dollars. We're just asking for right now phase one. If people want to donate more and it goes over those goals, it'll go towards phase two. But that is what we need, because I need to be able to do this work full time. And I've dedicated, I'd already say 10 years of volunteer to create awareness and written articles and, you know, done work within my own diocese, starting here first, following in the footsteps of Father Peyton. It's a stepping stone progress. And it's also, you know, a grassroots type of project. Mm. So
now, Michelle, let's just go back and give us that fund. Can you spell that to us and tell us exactly?
So the Life Funder fundraising campaign is www.lifefunder. So lifefunder.com/FRPEYTON. So www.lifefunder.com/father, the short form of father, FR, and Peyton is PEYTON.
And that's all one, all together.
And they can actually go, and that'll take them directly to our page, explain all about it. They can also email me, all one word, fullofgraceproductions7@gmail.com, or they can contact me via telephone at area code 519-702-2678.
So let's hear that again, everyone. So if you haven't got your pen and paper, get it ready. Area code 519-702-2678. 519-702-2678. And let me ask everyone who's listening today, listen, we want to thank those religious orders who have come forward for Michelle with some very generous donations. And brothers and sisters, let's put it this way. We are appealing and encouraging all who are, let's say, with the Catholic Women's League, the Knights of Columbus, the Legion of Mary, as well as many other religious orders. All of us who can see this as a much needed, long overdue film of Father Patrick Peyton. You know, brothers and sisters, important quality movies like this that Michelle is working so hard on, this requires considerable funding. We need to seriously consider the number of faith-based movies out there, which mainstream film industry hardly ever produce. Think about that. What did the kids get to watch? Have they ever been to a couple of Catholic movies? I've been to one. It was called Unplanned. And I went to see Mother Teresa. Right? That's it. Like I can count them on one hand. All the more reason why our children, our future of our faith, it depends on getting these kinds of films out there. Brothers and sisters, Father Patrick Peyton, Michelle, we're all disciples of Christ, and we all have a responsibility. Each one of us has a responsibility to spread the gospel. And there is no better way than by supporting financially this kind of movie.
And now, if I can interject.
Yes, please do, Michelle.
Father Payton said it used to grieve him that he had to spend so much of his own time in the same position trying to persuade people, especially those who may have been more blessed with material blessings, because he said they will receive a greater blessing that comes from serving Mary. So in his words, he did the best he could. But I want to remind those who have been given more than maybe others that they will get even greater blessings from serving Mary and through donating something this powerfully, because one only needs to look at a movie like The Passion of the Christ to see the conversions and the impact and the power that that had. That actually opened Hollywood up to more Christian and even Catholic films.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Michelle, one final question. What yes. does this film All for Her represent to you? What has that meant for you?
That's a good question. You asked me such loaded questions, Christina. God bless you. Well, for me, it's really a fulfillment of that calling from the moment my mother handed me the book and a deathbed promise that I made to the first vice postulator, Father Thomas Feeling, and to utilize my gifts and talents ultimately to help lead people the same way that Father Payton did. You're wanting to lead them back to Our Lady, back to the Rosary. You know, we all have vocational callings. So for me, this is a fulfillment of my calling and a deathbed promise. But it also reiterates that we all have special callings in our lives. It doesn't have to be religious, but in all the work we do, we need to put those talents for the service of and glory for God, as Father Payton did, for the common good of all. So to remember that prayer and prayer of the Most Holy Rosary was given to us from Our Lady. It's the greatest spiritual weapon of all time. And I also wanted to mention what Father Cornelius Hegarty told Father Payton, to leave you with what he told him when he was facing that pivotal decision of whether to have the surgery or to put his trust and faith in God. And he basically said, if we believe that Our Lady is a 50%er, that's what she'll be. She'll give us a 50%. But if we believe she's 100%er, she will give us 100%. Mm-hmm. So it's what's stopping us is our faith and trust in God. And that's when Father Payton saw our Blessed Mother as a real woman with eyes, a face, a smile, a memory, an intelligence. And the fact that Our Lady is a mediatrix, so in the salvific redemption by her Son, Jesus Christ, and that he bestows graces through her to us. That's what he did for Father Payton. And Father Cornelius said to Father, you know, Mary can do anything God can do. But he said the difference is not in what God can do and what Mary can do. The difference is in the way they do it. God wills it. Something he does, he wills it, and it happens. Mary prays to him. This is where people who don't understand Catholics, we don't give glory to Mary. We honor her as a mother of God. She prays to her son and he does it. He will never say no to his mother.
Right. Absolutely. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been listening to a special broadcast by Radio Maria Canada today of an upcoming film called All for Her. Let us pray that through the intercession of Mother Mary and the power of the Rosary, that much needed funds from kind and generous people come forward to make this film of historical importance for us and for our children's future, as well as their children's future as well. You know, before I close up with a prayer, Michelle, I know that Radio Maria broadcasts worldwide. We are a worldwide family, and I am completely, completely inspired, as I'm sure that everyone listening today is. I am praying for you, Michelle, on the production and the completion of this film called All for Her. But may I make a small suggestion? Make sure, Michelle, that you have an Oscar speech prepared.
Well, God willing, the secular industry will recognize. Wouldn't that be something for them to recognize the Mother of God and Jesus?
Yeah, on that's right.
On, you know, your lips to God's ears, whatever God wills, you know, I'm open to. And I want to thank you, Christina, for allowing people like myself to be a part of this amazing broadcast. And to all the listeners, you're in our heart and our prayers, and we appreciate anything. No donation is too big or too small.
That's again, so let's make sure we give that again, that information. It is www.lifefunder, L-I-F-E, lifefunder, all one word, FUNDER.com/ Father Peyton, FRPEYTON. So that's lifefunder.com/ Father FR Peyton, PEYTON. If you wish instead to give a call to Michelle, that's Michelle Yearman, and it is 519-702-2678. Email is fullofgraceproductions7@gmail.com. And so with that in mind, here is a prayer that we will offer up for Michelle, for Full of Grace Productions, for Father Patrick Peyton. Dearest Mother Mary, thank you, O Blessed Mother, for your kindness, your protection, as today we ask for intercession, that this broadcast be a blessing to all our listeners. May they be inspired to bring forward much needed donations. O Holy Dearest Mother, bless Michelle and those who support her in this endeavor. May this film be a resounding success, in whereby the Venerable Father Patrick Peyton will touch the lives of people around the world. Bless all the members of the Peyton family with joy and the peace of Christ, who have been so supportive of this project. Mother Mary, pray for us. Amen. Michelle, it's been an honor and a privilege to finally get together and to talk about this amazing, worthwhile, much needed film, all for her. So please, everyone, let's get this off the ground and let's get this moving and grooving. Thank you again, Michelle Yearman.
Thank you to Our Lady as well, and to Father Peyton. I really appreciate being inspired to do this and to use my gifts for God's glory.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Christina, for using yours for us today too.
God bless you, hon. As a special gift for Our Lady and our listeners, we present Michelle Yearman's rendition of Ave Maria by Gounod.
You have been listening to the program Beyond the Pages with our host, Christina Doyle, here on Radio Maria, Canada.